So this is the fourth week of Advent. This is also known as Christmas Sunday. Has anybody ever heard of Christmas Sunday? Anybody ever heard of Christmas Sunday? Yeah, this is the first birth narrative that we give before Christmas Eve, and it's also known as Christmas Sunday. And so this is a time in which we give the first birth narrative, and then on Christmas Eve, there's the more extended birth narrative. So just remember that, Christmas Sunday. Normally, we have on this fourth Sunday the words of the Virgin Mary. You know that infamous Magnificat prayer she says, the way in which she says, let it be. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I love preaching on Mary because I think she was the most faith-filled person within the Bible next to Jesus and next to God. But this is a different Sunday. This is a Sunday in which we hear about the birth narrative according to Joseph's perspective. Joseph's perspective is big this week. And we hear the birth narrative according to what he sees and according to what he has. Normally we have Mary saying, let it be according to thy great will. And here we have Joseph who says nothing, but who does continue to do the work of God in this world. Now in ancient Israel, normally when a teenager was done with his bar mitzvah, he was considered to be a man, going out into the world, able to do work at a very young and tender age of between 12 and 14 years of age. So it wouldn't be uncommon if a man who was between 12 and 14 would also take a wife who was between 12 and 14 years of age. And so the chances are good that both Mary and Joseph were very young when they got married. And we can assume from this text that a contract was already written up. Now, in ancient Israel, whenever a man and a woman decided to get married, the fathers would often prearrange the marriage. And so the father of Joseph and the father of Mary would get together, and chances were good they'd already written up a contract. Because we read in this scripture that Joseph felt betrayed because Mary was pregnant and it wasn't by him. Little did he know it was but from the work of the Holy Spirit, but it was not by him. And so we read in this scripture that he was planning to divorce her quietly. That's what the scripture says, is that Joseph was planning to divorce her quietly. And adultery could be resolved by the annulment of a contract. But then an angel appears to Joseph and says these words, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So the birth of Jesus Christ is not only a miraculous birth, it is totally unexpected. Don't you just love to hear birth stories? I love to hear birth stories. I love it when people love to hear my birth stories, but I love to hear other people's birth stories when couples have a child and they're new at this and they're excited. But I've often noticed that with a birth story, if it's fun and exciting, there were some expectations there. We felt the contractions between 6 and 10 seconds. We rushed to the hospital. We had a suitcase. We called our parents. Lots of joy in these birth stories. But everything follows these certain expectations. We got there. We had to decide whether we're doing natural birth or morphine. You know, there were all these expectations that just lined themselves up in place. But when I often hear birth stories that cause me to shake and shiver, cause my eyes to get big, it's when I hear something like this. We were at home alone, and my wife said the baby was on the way. And nobody else was around. No doctors, no family, nobody. I had to deliver that child by myself, not knowing what I was doing. We were in the car and got stopped in traffic. And I told my husband, this baby's coming out. We were in the car and got stopped in traffic. And the birth pangs hit. And I started hitting my husband and saying, I want to get to the hospital. These are all unexpected narratives within these birth narratives, and they add a layer of stress and suspense and anxiety. I can only imagine that God coming into this world would be full of suspense and anxiety and unexpected actions and unexpected outcomes. Now, since angels were God's messengers, we can assume that these were the very words of God. And when the angel comes to Joseph, he never says a thing. But we know that he did what the angel told him to do. He was obedient to God's plan. Obedience to God's plan. I think that obedience to God's plan requires a certain type of dedication and devotion. I remember when General Conference had an outcome just recently in 2019, and some people were upset. And we lived in a reactionary and emotional society, and people become very reactionary, and they say reactionary things and do reactionary stuff. And people said, "We're leaving the Methodist Church." And I just remember saying, "Stay calm, stay cool, and stay the course. Anything which is worth pursuing is worth fighting for." Okay, so just hang in there. And to me, that's what obedience is. It's staying calm so that we have clear understanding. It's staying cool to make sure that we make the right decisions. And it's staying the course, staying dedicated and devoted to something. And so that's what I was telling people after General Conference. Stay calm, stay cool, stay the course. But notice here, too, that there's an unexpected outcome and there's an unexpected person here. Joseph, who had planned to divorce his wife, all of a sudden has this reversal of heart. And he was one of the unexpected people in this birth narrative. What is God still doing through unexpected people today? You ever thought about that question? What is God still doing among unexpected people? One of the first lines in the Book of Discipline, as far as creation, says this: we believe that all creation belongs to God and that we need to create responsible and sustainable environmental systems for humanity. But I, for one, don't think we've been responsible with this world. I don't think we've been responsible with God's creation. And in November of 2018, 13 environmental federal agencies, now these are agencies, folks, so there could have been lots and lots of people involved in this. 13 federal environmental agencies released a report of climate change, which stated the effects of climate change, including deadly wildfires, hurricanes, and heat waves, are already battering the U.S. and will continue to get worse. Here are federal agencies telling us this, folks. Here are some other statistics that were within this article. Farmers have lost an estimated $1 billion in farm production related to climate change. The temperature has risen half a degree over the last 25 years and will continue to accelerate. And here's something to me which is very telling. The years 2015, 2016, 2017, and 2018, according to the study, were the hottest years on record. Every year, we continue to get a little bit more heat. The temperature continues to rise. So what is God doing through unexpected people even today? Well, it didn't come through a national headline. It didn't come through a national leader. It didn't come from a federal agency. And it didn't come from a federal environmentalist. But a 16-year-old Swedish girl with autism told the world her thoughts on environmental change. 16-year-old girl with autism became a well-known and established person who let people know how she felt about climate change. God is still working in unexpected places. God is still working in unexpected and unknown people. Now, in typical Methean style, the scripture offers a prophetic voice to this narrative. Have you ever noticed that when you read Matthew? This was so the prophecy could be fulfilled. We read that a lot in Matthew. The scripture says this: all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Have you ever thought about that statement, folks? Emmanuel, that the Christ child is coming into this world so that we will have God with us. God with us here, walking this earth. God with us to take care of our needs. God with us to listen to us. God with us to be in discussion. God with us to be in dialogue. God with us is coming into this world. Jesus Christ and God chose to be in this world, to be among us, to be with us, to be involved in ministry with us. The actual presence of God chose a physical life to be with us, with human emotions and human thoughts and human ideas, to be here to respond to human need. But in order for this child to be in Joseph's life, Joseph must be obedient to what the angel is telling him. The truth of the matter is, folks, Mary has already said, let it be. And she's going to have the baby. But if Joseph wants Christ present in real time in his life, he has to be obedient to what the angel is telling him. Now, I think obedience requires a stubbornness, a determination, a drive. Obedience often requires that you and I go out on a leap of faith, not for ourselves, but for God. We've got to be willing to take a leap of faith. I remember being in my second appointment, and we started growing the young adults and children's population there. And I said, when was the last time we had vacation Bible school? And the naysayer says, we don't do that. It won't work. And I said, well, when was it? And they said, well, it was about 5 years ago. And I said, well, let's try it. Well, we don't do that. It won't work. And I said, well, if it doesn't, you can blame me. You can put it on me. I'll take the heat for it. I'm paid to get my hands dirty. And so we started planning on vacation Bible school after not having it for 5 years. And we went to meetings, and the naysayers would say, it won't work. We're not doing this. And I can remember my children's coordinator who did children's ministry just becoming really frustrated with the naysayers. And she said, well, it was worth a shot. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you hear how people don't like this here. And I said, I don't care. I said, look, we're going to give it a shot. I've already told them that if it'll come down on me if it doesn't work. Well, that spring day, we decided to have worship service at an earlier time and then have just one day of vacation Bible school. We'd have a one-day vacation Bible school session and just see what happened. Folks, we had 37 kids that showed up in that worship service that did vacation Bible school later on that day. We had not had 37 kids in that church in a long time. We had young adults that got involved in that and who were never involved in anything else. And from that point onward, during my last 2 years that I was there, I was there a total of 5 years, we had a week-long vacation Bible school. Now, folks, that would have never happened had we caved to the naysayers saying, it won't work. That'll never happen. But because we stayed calm and stayed cool and stayed the course, we had a very successful vacation Bible school. Thomas Alva Edison attempted to create the light bulb 999 times before he succeeded on try 1,000. Do you know why? Obedience. Alexander Graham Bell attempted to create the telephone 256 times before he delivered on number 257. It was his obedience that allowed my daughter to have a tool which allows her to completely ignore us all the time now. But it was because of his obedience. It was because of his dedication. It was because of his devotion. And I can tell you this, folks, as a Christian. Whenever you and I feel a strong sense of Christ's presence, chances are good we've been obedient. We've been obedient to doing our Christian disciplines, to being involved in prayer and meditation and scripture reading, to be involved in ministries at the church and Bible study, to be involved in all these types of disciplines which will actually allow the real presence of Christ in our hearts and in our lives. That's the real that's the thing, folks. Whenever we're obedient to Christian disciplines, it allows the real presence of Christ to be in our lives. But I can tell you from doing a spiritual inventory of myself, and probably many of you all can too, in those times in which we feel a spiritual void, we feel a sense of isolation, we feel a sense of loneliness, we feel a sense of abandonment, or whether or not we just feel a real strong sense of spiritual void in our lives, the chances are good if we do an inventory on ourselves, we have not been dedicated to those spiritual disciplines, to prayer and scripture, and Bible study, and things of that nature. Because it's that obedience that we have, it's that dedication and devotion that we have to doing the work of God in our lives that allows the real presence of Christ to be in our midst. So how are we devoting ourselves to being in Christ's presence, and how are we not devoting ourselves? Realize this, folks. If Joseph did not devote himself to being a father to this child, the real presence of Christ would not have been in his life. But because of Joseph's obedience to doing God's will, he would soon find himself in the presence of a child who would also be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we hear this story of divine obedience in which you have called certain people to do certain things in this world. We hear your call upon Joseph's life to be involved in his child's life, to be involved in the life of that which would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you to call us, Lord, to certain ministries, to be involved in certain areas in the life of the church. We ask you to call us to be dedicated and devoted to doing what you call us to do. And Lord, we are aware that there will be whenever there is a call and a commission from you, there will be those who react negatively, but allow us to stay calm and stay cool and stay the course, that we may be obedient to doing your work and your will and your ministry. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.